shopping therapy for the U.S. economy?
Don't miss the numbers, the news, and Kai's final note. Subscribe to the Marketplace Podcast. Find it on iTunes or online at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Now, we could have a conversation about overconsumption in America and the virtues of simple living, but how big retail chains are doing offers useful insight into the state of the American economy. Macy's reported today that its profits are up 20%. It's also raising the dividend it pays shareholders. That said, same-store sales at Macy's were up 3.8%. For a further read into the economy, we turn to Stuart Hoffman, chief economist at PNC Financial Services in Pittsburgh. Stuart, great to hear your voice.
Nice to talk to you again.
So Macy's doing okay here, profits way up, but sales up modestly. Does that fit into what you're seeing in the economy?
Yeah, I think it does in general with consumer spending. In the first 4 months of this year, and I assume that must cover a good part of the Macy's reporting period, consumers were spending money. They were cautious. The payroll tax hike, took a little bit of bite out of that, although some of that they took out of savings. They're getting their tax refunds now that were delayed. And jobs are growing. So, yes, we're seeing consumers cautiously spending more money, and some of the dire fears of what might happen basically haven't materialized.
Wholesale prices for April came out this morning. Biggest fall in 3 years. What's that, oil maybe?
Yeah, that's gasoline. I mean, a huge drop in gasoline. Tomorrow we'll actually get the consumer price index. That's the one the consumers feel directly. That should show another decline, not as big as this. But it's a lot about lower energy and gasoline prices, but even elsewhere, apparel and other types of cars. There's no inflation pressures, and the Fed's looking at this number and saying, inflation is still a no-show in the economy.
Stuart Hoffman, chief economist, PNC Financial Services, thank you.
You're welcome.
The biggest retailer, Walmart, has announced its plan for improving working conditions in Bangladesh. This after a garment factory collapsed last month, killing more than 1,100 people, one of the deadliest industrial disasters of all time. Walmart is taking a different tack from a consortium of retailers and labor groups in Europe, Marketplace's Chrissy Clark reports.
The proposal that's got the most traction so far is one signed on to by a broad coalition of retailers in Europe who work in more than a fifth of the factories in Bangladesh. It's a legally binding pact that would require companies to invest in key safety measures and submit to independent monitoring that includes input from workers themselves. That plan was launched by a global federation of unions, which is key for factory safety, says Judy Gearhart, executive director of the advocacy group International Labor Rights Forum.
Half of the problem is the fact that workers are not able to speak up, and having the trade unions at the table makes all the difference on that.
But most of the big U.S. retailers have not signed on to this plan, not Walmart, The Gap, JCPenney, or Target.
Anytime you use the word union in retail, they get nervous.
Marshall Cohen is a retail analyst with the NPD Group.
They want to do the right thing, but their model in many cases is based on providing the consumer with the lowest priced product. And that in turn means that they have to very carefully assess union shops.
Labor groups have set today as the deadline to sign up for the plan that European retailers have embraced. I'm Chrissy Clark for Marketplace.
European Union investigators have raided several oil industry offices in the UK. The investigation is in its early stages, so it's not clear if anything illegal will be found. But the concern is manipulation of prices. The BBC's Rob Young joins us from London. Good morning, Rob.
Hi, David.
Unannounced inspections, they're calling these. Of whom?
Well, unannounced inspections is effectively a euphemism for raids on various companies. And we're talking about some of the world's biggest oil explorers, BP, Royal Dutch Shell, Statoil of Norway, along with a pricing service, Platts, which is owned by the US company Grauma Hill. And the European Commission, which is effectively the antitrust regulator in the European Union, is concerned that these companies may have colluded in reporting distorted prices to manipulate the published prices in the oil market.
When we're talking oil prices, if it turns out to be the case that there was some kind of manipulation, this could have wide implications.
Well, that's right. We don't know precisely which contracts the European Commission has got concerns about, but they said in a statement that it relates to crude oil, biofuel, and also refined fuels as well. So, in theory, you could be talking about an impact on everything from plastic bags to jet fuel, because these kinds of oil prices underpin billions of dollars worth of contracts. And the European Commission has said that small distortions in prices may have a huge impact, and so, as you say, potentially harming final consumers like you and I.
The BBC's Rob Young in London. Rob, thank you.
Thank you, David.
Show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
Boeing's stock will begin trading just above $96 this morning with news that production on its high-tech Dreamliners has resumed after a four-month hiatus. Boeing needed to work out problems with the big jet's batteries, which were prone to catching fire. There's no official estimate on how much the battery mess cost Boeing, although analysts put the cost at about $600 million. Just today, Boeing delivered a fresh Dreamliner to All Nippon Airways. The U.S. Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee is taking a stab today at the multi-headed beast known as government inefficiency. The committee will hold a hearing titled 380 Ways to Make Washington More Efficient. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer looks at what's happening to previous attempts at government streamlining and what's likely to happen to this one.
The number 380 comes from congressional reports outlining, yes, 380 areas of government waste and duplication. Yet, despite the catchy title, here's the reaction the hearing's getting.
Oh, here we go again.
Paul Light teaches public service at New York University. Light says there have been tons of efficiency efforts, but they usually die away because they require painful change. That hasn't stopped just about every president from trying. Light says a Clinton administration initiative to reinvent government did have some success. It was spearheaded by Vice President Al Gore, who smashed an expensive government-approved ashtray on the David Letterman show to promote it.
Cool.
Gore's initiative sprang from a Reinventing Government book, co-authored by Ted Gabler. It's now printed in 22 languages.
Just last year into Mongolian, just the year before that in Farsi, so the Iranians are using it.
Gabler says he's always getting international requests for cost-cutting advice, but he hasn't gotten any calls from the U.S. government. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And the economic value of art, although maybe not high art, but who are we to judge? A Dutch artist named Florentine Hoffman created a giant yellow rubber ducky, an installation that's now floating off Hong Kong. The Wall Street Journal reports hotels with a view of the 54-foot duck are charging extra, and a local rubber ducky manufacturer reports sales inquiries are up 60%. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.